In this episode of Movie Rollers, we discuss The Imitation Game and A Most Violent Year. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, you as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, the show is for you.
Hello.
Greetings.
I'm eyeing up the chocolate biscuits and thinking if I want another one.
You do want another one.
It's 9:30. That's it's a little late for carbs.
It's a little late.
Not that that normally stops me, but it is a little late for carbs.
It's never too late for chocolate.
But their delicious Waitrose Christmas chocolate shortcake selection.
Waitrose is a British brand.
Supermarket,
yeah. They're kind of like a fancy. Do you know Waitrose, Yasti?
Yes, I've been to one.
Oh, you like the yogurts?
Yes, I love their yogurts. And in the bowels of
Selfridges or
no, in the bowels of.
Tube station.
Yes.
The metro.
Where's the EMA? Wharf.
Canary Wharf.
In the bowels of Canary Wharf, there is a Waitrose. And I rather enjoyed it. I was like a kid in a candy shop, literally. A kid in a yogurt shop. But they have lovely things.
Yes. They're kind of like a boutique-y supermarket.
They're like a...
You don't do your weekly shopping at Waitrose unless you live in Canary Wharf.
Right.
It's almost like a Whole Foods...
Except not as healthy
as like, chocolate biscuits.
It's like a good Whole Foods where you get the good stuff.
Yeah.
The one that your doctor doesn't like.
Yes. Yeah, so thanks to my family for bringing
thanks
them.
Thanks to Rashmi's cousin, yes, who came to visit for bringing us a box of these Waitrose. Are they Christmas selection?
Yes.
Chocolate shortcake selection.
Yeah, and they have a really thick layer of chocolate. The ratio of chocolate to shortbread... It's just yummy.
It's unnecessarily thick.
But I'm not complaining. Really
I'm saying that in a good way. Thank you, Sheetal.
Yes. And milk, dark, and white chocolate.
Yes.
And nobody listening has even a hope of getting them.
Unless you're in the UK.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any in the US. So we probably have the only box that exists in the US. Sorry, listeners.
I'm sure you can... Oh, maybe not. Yeah,
I was thinking eBay them.
Like Fresh and Easy wouldn't have it.
No.
Not like this.
They might, though.
All right, we have two movies to talk about. You want to start with Imitation Game?
Sure.
All right.
So English mathematician and logician Alan Turing helps crack the Enigma code during World War II. This is directed by Morten Tildum, and it's written by Andrew Hodges, who I guess wrote the book, and Graham Moore, who wrote the screenplay. And this stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Keira Knightley, Matthew Good, amongst many others. I don't really want to say more than that, I think. So, Joe, what did you think of The Imitation Game? And yes, I know you got to see this one at San Diego Film Festival.
Yes.
Who did a great job of curating films this year again.
Yes, yes.
I know the film festival is gone, but they did an amazing job of curating movie this year.
Well, they were able to bring in some pretty
really
big players
big
in terms of the movies. I mean, Wild screened there, Whiplash screened like 2 months ahead of the theatrical release. Mr. Turner, Imitation Game, Laggies, a lot of pretty big names they were able to bring in. With commercial cinema, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Joe, what did you think of this?
Well, before I give comment on the movie, one thing I'm really going to complain about here is bloody trailers and advertising. So this movie's been very well marketed. And please, first of all, the movie's absolutely worth watching. Second of all, if you have any interest in watching it, don't watch the trailer because some of the movie's best moments are given away. And I
hate that.
It really did detract from the experience of watching the movie, knowing what line was coming next in some of those situations. But nonetheless, this is an extremely well-crafted movie. Really, from the performances, from the writing, to the way that the entire story is constructed and some of the revelations that come later on in the movie had me caught off guard. This was definitely one of the better movies of the year. I'm not sure it's going to make my top 10, but from a technical perspective, this movie was just accomplished in every which way a movie can be. Great stuff.
Yes, Dee.
this is a very handsome movie, isn't it? I mean, I think the word that comes to me is handsome. Everything about it is so polished and so burnished, and from the way it's been written, there's something very accomplished about the whole movie, about how it's structured, how it's been acted. Yeah. You know, it's deliberately asymmetrical. It's got a very interesting structure in terms of how it builds. So I think this is a fine movie, and I have nothing but great praise for it. But like you, Joe, I mean, I expected this movie, because this movie won the Audience Award at the Toronto Film Festival. It's been doing exceptionally well in general on the festival circuit. So I expect it to be emotionally devastated. And I think by virtue of some strange choices the movie makes towards the end, which I, for the life of me, I can't understand. It didn't, like, it should have been, a punch in the stomach, but it wasn't. But let that not take away from what a tremendous achievement this movie is. I mean, I think people who love movies should see it. It probably will not make my top 10 list either, but I think if only every movie was this well thought out, I don't know, it's like a Mercedes-Benz of cinema, there's something so... It purrs. The whole movie kind of purrs as it moves along. Mm-hmm. It's so well...
It's really well engineered. It's like a Swiss watch.
It's like a Swiss watch. It's very well engineered. I wish it was more engineered with its emotionality.
I don't disagree with anything you've said. Cumberbatch is a chameleon, always a pleasure to watch. I think this is a good movie, but not a great one. I was expecting more. I couldn't tell if this was a movie about the war, the man Alan Turing, or the fact that it was illegal to be gay in the 1950s in the UK. It was all of those things, and so I think it lost the opportunity to take any one of those things further and explore it more. And I think overall it became a little bit too much about the man making the very first computer in a way, or being the first hacker, I don't know. But it lacked warmth and depth, and I think as I listen to you both, it makes me feel like it was soulless. It was really well constructed, but it was soulless.
And go on, please.
In some ways, it's kind of like the main protagonist, right? I mean, Alan Turing was, had some type of autism spectrum disorder, and that made him very hard to relate to. And I felt that this movie ultimately was hard to relate to. It didn't get under my skin. I always felt at kind of arm's length with what was going on with the characters. I never felt as if I was involved in their world and their story. I was watching it from afar. And, again, just admiring the way it was assembled is a very good way of putting it, because that's kind of what I was doing. I'm full of admiration for this movie, just not love.
And I actually think it's a lost opportunity, because it's those three things. And if it had been one of those things, if it had been about... it had been a more typical war movie, I think it would have been very powerful. I think if it would have been just a character study about Alan Turing, it would have been very interesting. But I think the greatest lost opportunity is the terrible irony of the fact that this man is credited, with having saved the Allies, with winning the war, right? Because he broke all these codes. And, in many ways, I mean, they say in the movie and other stuff I've read that because of the work that he did, entire cities were saved from being bombed. And yet soon after the war, this man was greatly persecuted, and he was, he went through electroshock, and he was imprisoned for simply being gay. And I think that was and the movie completely ignores that. But I think it almost deliberately walks away from the payoff. I wish the movie had spent some time at the end with seeing how, after everything he did, how he was treated for it, because it would have been, that would have brought the soul to it, because it would have kind of made you feel sorry for this man. I never felt sorry for him, because what happens to him eventually you only see kind of in, handwritten placards at the end. So it's kind of more interested in what he did in terms of, breaking the codes and how he developed what is considered to be the prototype of the first computer. But I think it was a lost opportunity in terms of following how Britain treated this man. Go on.
Do you think it was kind of a studio fear about having too much overtly, gay rights kind of issues in the movie?
I don't know, maybe.
Because there still seems to be that aversion within Hollywood to take on these types of issues and make them, put them front and center.
Well, unless you're going to call your movie Harvey Milk. Right, unless you're going to make it an all-out movie about that person. Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it alludes to it all the way through, and that's the strange thing, because I think you're exactly right, Joe. It keeps you at arm's length. It gives you some feeling of it all the way through the movie in flashback, but then it never quite lets you in and lets you tells you the secret in a way, which isn't a secret. I think it did have a lot of redeeming features. I mean, again, this had a really lovely score. I think it's got really light, bubbly dialogue. I really enjoyed the dialogue.
Exceptionally well written. Yeah.
Really well written, and then very well executed by all of the actors. And then I thought it did a really good job with costume. It created the period again very nicely. I mean, at times it reminded me a little bit of A Beautiful Mind, but I think it's really bad timing with, and we've already spoken about The Theory of Everything. I think if this had been a year when The Theory of Everything wasn't around, then this would have given this character in this movie a lot more heft.
Yeah, I mean, I still like the, I fully agree with everything you've said, but I still like the idea of how the movie talks about this ragtag group of people who were brought together, how this guy was, like you said, he had some kind of he was unable to communicate other than being rude with everybody around him. But this group of people were brought together, how they toiled, how they worked together. And so I like that piece, but I didn't get that, you know, that payoff at the end. And in fact, for me, the emotional heart of the movie was actually the Keira Knightley character. And, you know, you see her story, like what she goes through kind of was more moving to me than, you know, the Turing character. And I'm not suggesting that they make the lead character something other than who he was in terms of, you know, his behaviors. But it's an odd choice. I mean, it's so accomplished that it seems a little bit like a lost opportunity. It should have just hit the home run.
There's a way to deal with that kind of character. And, you know, we saw it a couple of years ago, very effectively done with a Facebook movie, where that character is also socially awkward. And,
or A Beautiful Mind, as you said,
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I think that there is a way that you can endear the audience to the plight of that particular character without necessarily making him likable. You know, but they didn't do a great job of that here. And you know, maybe it's just because, you know, the objectives were slightly different. I mean, I think for me, one of the more interesting themes that the movie had was the whole MI6 espionage type angle, which really could have been so much more. I mean, again, I think you're right, Yazdi. It's the movie doesn't quite know which side of this story it wants to tackle, so it kind of throws them all at you, and you know, you just end up a little dissatisfied with every aspect of the story, because I wanted more of that. I think some of the ways that it had some of the suggestions that it made about what was done with information that was learned, and you know, that was really fascinating historical stuff, but it was thrown into this bizarro character movie that was also, you know. But again, I sound like I'm beating up on the movie. This is a movie I enjoyed an incredible amount. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like this is a horrible experience at all. I mean, it was not. It was great, great fun.
I mean, what's interesting to me is that this is a very relevant movie to today, in a sense, with this code breaking. You know, if we think about the NSI and we NSA.
CIA and NSA. Yes.
There you go. If we think about, you know, all of these agencies and what's going on in the world today and how we're trying to crack codes, and you know, we're in the opposite. We have too much information that we can see, and how that information is shared. It's a very relevant movie, and again, it's a lost opportunity. So I think this is one of those movies that had so much. It was so great, but it was so mechanical.
Yeah.
And I don't think, Joe, to your point about us not being an audience being endeared to the character, I think he was quite funny at times. It was quite a funny character. But just overall, there was just no soul to the movie.
And maybe it's unfair to say, but I think the movie kind of shies away from what the character shied away from. You know, I wish it would have just gone all out and kind of, you know, shown us this character. And because there's so many things which are just kind of, you know,
hidden
and kind of only suggested. And I mean, if you're telling the story in 2014, why are you being coy about it? There's no reason to be coy about it. So again, like you said, it might be a studio consideration, but then, you know,
then don't make it. I mean,
yeah,
you know, make the bold movie that you want to make.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Joe.
Again, like I said at the beginning, I think technically this movie is incredibly well crafted. It's wonderfully, it goes through its motions brilliantly, and it has you engaged. I mean, there's no point in this movie where you feel bored or disengaged from anything. It's just, it doesn't go as deep as you would like it to, and for that, it doesn't quite earn a 9 out of 10. But it's very damn close, a good solid 8 out of 10.
Yes, Dee.
Yeah, a good solid 8 out of 10, and I so wanted this movie to be a 9 out of 10. And, you know, in spite of everything we expect it to be, I cannot take away from the fact that how accomplished the movie is. And, you know, from the technical perspective, I mean, it's excellent script, great acting. And, you know, I mean, this is the year, and Rashmi will agree with me, where Keira Knightley has come into her own. You know, she's absolutely been doing remarkable work in movies after movie, you know, with Begin Again and this one, and, you know, but again, I wish we could have had, I mean, you said it best, Rashmi, I wish it wasn't so mechanical and had a bit of a soul, a bit of a heart to it. So, but even then, for everything it does right, an 8 out of 10.
So I think it's an educational movie without feeling like it's teaching you, and it's an important story to be told, but a little mixed up tonally for my liking, and so lacking in heart and soul, which I need. For me, more of a 7 out of 10. And I want to see Cumberbatch do comedy now.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of brave of him to play this character as being so unlikable. But but like you said, we've seen unlikable characters before who you grow to love or identify with, and that you never
understand.
And you never make that transition with him.
Yeah, but what a great performance! I mean, I think, you know, when you look at what he as an actor does, you know, with, you know, he doesn't have, I don't really want to call the ALS a gimmick in Theory of Everything, but he doesn't have that kind of crutch to, you know, he has to bring it, you know, in theory from just his voice and his behavior, mannerisms, right. Just again, such a strong performance. What a fine actor this guy is.
Yeah, and like I said, I think in any other year, if this movie had come, I would say this is a knock it out of the park Oscar nod, but I think this is going to be a borderline one
in terms of nominations.
Yeah, in terms of nominations. I mean, it's a strong movie, right? In any other year, you would be saying Cumberbatch, Keira Knightley, Imitation Game. For all of those technical things, I don't know. This year, I think it's gonna...
I think Cumberbatch is still going to get it. And I think this movie has enough love. It's such a, like I said, handsome movie. Mm. It's the kind of movie Oscar likes. And it's relatively safe. It's a very safe movie.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it might squeeze in with the best picture, but it doesn't have a shot in hell of winning it, I don't think.
Yeah.
I hope not. Not when there are better
That's
movies.
Another show.
Yes.
That'll be next month's show.
Yes, that will be next month's show.
Okay,
so should we move Final on to the movie. Next movie?
A Most Violent Year.
So this is set during the winter of 1981, which apparently was statistically one of the most crime-ridden of New York City's history. So it's a drama that follows the lives of an immigrant and his family as they attempt to capitalize on the American dream, while the rampant violence, decay, and corruption of the day drag them in and threaten to destroy all they have built. So this is written by J.C. Chandor and also directed by him. It comes out at the end of the year, and it stars Jessica Chastain, Oscar Isaac, Albert Brooks, and many others. I've actually been dying to speak to you both about this one, because we saw this one a while ago. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first?
So this is a slow burn of a movie. It takes its time to build slowly and slowly, but at the end, when by the time the final scene comes along, it's proven itself as a solid, solid film. I actually think, unlike The Imitation Game, this might be one of the best movies of the year for me. I really love this movie, and I didn't expect to. And I don't usually like these crime mobster kind of movies at all, but I love this movie.
Joe?
Yeah, in many ways, it reminded me of the movie earlier this year with
The Drop.
James Gandolfini and Tom Hardy, in that I really enjoyed the world in which it was set. The movie took great pains to place us at a moment in time and in an environment where there's not a lot of sense that law enforcement and the rules that govern society can help you. It's kind of law of the jungle here, right in the middle of, you know, urban America. So I really enjoyed the way that the movie kind of crafted that. I enjoyed the performances, but the movie was a little too subtle overall, story-wise, for me. I think, again, I've said it before, but oftentimes I need a story to slap me around the face like a wet fish. And this movie was very subversive. I mean, it was very, very, you call it slow burning, Yazdi. I mean, I call it non-moving. I mean, it didn't have a strong enough arc for me to really get in and root for the characters.
You hated it, didn't you, Rashmi?
So I love crime family mob movies, and I'm obsessed by the mafia and all things related. I think this is a great example of mesmerizing acting and amazing production. Again, like The Hobbit, in a really boring movie. I didn't get this movie at all, but boy, was it incredible to watch Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain doing their thing. I don't know what happened. I just don't understand what the movie was about. I don't get it.
I think it's a character study. It's a character study, and I don't want to, again, say anything which gives too much of the movie away, but I think it's a character study about a man trying to do right, in spite of being placed in a situation where you can do anything but right. That's what I took away from it. That this is a man trying, within the code of thieves, within the code of, you know, mobsters, he's trying to be a good husband, trying to stay on the straight and narrow, and what he has to deal with. And I agree, the pacing is going to throw off 8 out of 10 people. They won't be able to, it'll be too slow for a lot of people. But for me, and I was a little agitated to it, like the first half hour of the movie, but once I kind of settled to its rhythms, it worked for me.
J.C. Chandler wrote and directed All Is Lost last year. And yes, I think in many ways, this is a very similar film, in that it's a man in an environment struggling against the odds. Right. Obviously, All Is Lost, you know, had the ocean and nature to contend with. Here, he had a very, you know, dark world around him to kind of cope with. But the moment you said that, Yazdi, it kind of took me right back to what I thought when I left the movie, which was it was very much like man versus, you know, the world, and the world throwing everything it can at him to break and corrupt him.
So I kept waiting for something to happen, and it never did. And I don't mind slow burning movies. I honestly don't mind them. But for me, I think it went a little bit wrong, because Oscar Isaac was just a little bit too John Gotti, and it got a little bit too Sopranos without any bite along the way. And it was just such a long movie. But more importantly, it felt like there was some really good backstory that we never got to see. And I feel like it was to do with the worker who ends up in a bad situation, because it kept making references to almost like these two people had grown up together and their lives could have gone the same way, but they took a separate track. And that would have been a really interesting movie for me.
Well,
but instead, but it was kind of that, like two people in an office and bad accounting.
Just to talk to that point, I mean, you know, we've taken a couple of writing classes, specifically screenwriting classes, and you know, one of the rules that they suggest that you follow to write a good scene, or even to write a good movie, is start in the middle of a scene and trust that the audience is going to get what happened before. This movie does a lot of that. There are a lot of things that kind of happen that are follow-up events to something that has happened before, which the movie hasn't shown you, but you know are there by virtue of the way the characters behave or by the way the scene plays out. It's just, it relies so heavily on your intelligence, which unfortunately for me when I was watching this was lacking. So, you know, as a result, I kind of struggle to understand what that scene means. I mean, but it is a movie that demands your attention. And
yeah,
I think in many ways, I admired this movie in the days after seeing it much more so than I did watching it, because I was reflecting on what was going on and how I felt and what I knew about the characters. And I feel like the Oscar Isaac character is somebody that I know really well, even though he didn't seem to do that much in the movie to help me know him as well as I feel like I know him.
No, he was a great character. honestly, I'm on board with how great a character this person is, but this movie owes me a unit of Botox because I still have a frown on my face. I mean, but
I think the last. So I think it takes its time, and very often it has this air of something bad's going to happen, and
yes, nothing
really does until it does at the very end. So I think it kind of saves up a lot of its juice for the very end. And again, you may disagree and say too late and too little, but for me, it just all fit together very nicely, and I love the Jessica Chastain character and how she's almost his equal. And she, you know, she's his wife. In many ways, she's his trophy wife who's supposed to not do anything but just be there smiling next to him. But she has her own ambitions, as she should. And she's such a strong character in many ways. Mm-hmm. The dynamic between the husband and wife, I think, was the best part of the movie, because who is driving whom? And she is in no way his inferior. And, you know, so I really like, and again, the movie takes its time to get there. And besides that, I really like that late 70s, early 80s look that the movie does such a great job of capturing.
Yeah,
I love the
production. Yeah.
Especially because what, more than 60-70% of the movie is all external shooting. I mean, I don't know how they did it. It's a New York subway. So many shots in the subways. And they seem like subways from the 80s. You know, I don't know how they did that, but...
I know. I kept marveling at all the cars as well. And I kept looking cars, to try and pick out, you know, a mistake, but I couldn't find one. I mean, I think for me, The Sopranos did it so well. Carmela Soprano, who was Tony Soprano's wife. Edie Falco did such a good job with that character that it's hard for anything to even come close to that. I agree with you. Jessica Chastain is phenomenal in this movie. But there's nothing new in terms of a gangster movie. That this is like every other gangster movie, but it's not really a gangster movie because it's got no bite. I mean, it's just nothing new that we haven't seen in the last 20 years. In fact, it's supposed to be shot 20 years ago. And I think it had tension, but it didn't have enough tension. And it just felt like something went terribly wrong, but I don't know if anyone else can see it except me.
I think there is, I mean, I thought there's this whole very compelling act in the movie where he is trying, so he runs these trucks, right? He owns these trucks which transfer fuel from one location to the other. And, you know, somebody is, you know, attacking these trucks, and, you know, it becomes this almost a movie about gun control, because it's about, you know, the workers don't feel safe driving his trucks anymore and they want to carry guns. And, you know, he's telling them not to carry a gun until one of them carries a gun. And what happens as a consequence of that, I think, drives through the end of the movie. And I really like that piece about how this person who, you know, he really cared for and who he shared some kind of ethnic connection with, that individual ultimately struggles with doing what his boss asks him to and his need to protect himself. And he unfortunately makes the wrong decision and what the repercussions are from that. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's too cerebral for the setting it is in. I mean, but
no, it worked for me. It's very, that's the kind of thing that you think about after a movie, right? I mean, because in the moment, it's not a lot of action. But it's those types of interactions and you know, it's just a very layered movie. It's very, yes. There's so much to it when you think about what was going on. And again, I think the whole idea of you know, starting at some midpoint of some bigger tale and giving you that section that allows you to kind of think about the universe and the world in which it's set works really, really well. But it's just hard to appreciate at the time.
Or now. For some of us, clearly.
Like, there's a great part in the movie where he's trying to figure out who amongst his competitors is sabotaging, you know, his operations. And it's almost like a little detective story trying to figure out these are the big players, which one of them is doing it. And there's a great scene where he, you know, where he meets his competitors, all of them, and he says, I don't care which one of you is doing it, but stop, you know, he just says, and I don't know, I mean, I see a lot of parallels with what's going on right now in the real world, where people are, it's so cutthroat, and people are trying to get at each other, and it's very difficult to tell who your friends are and who your enemies are at the business level. And so I don't know, that kind of, I was fascinated by it. It resonated for me.
Honestly, Yazdi's edit of this movie. Yeah. Okay, anything else on this one? Okay, so Joe, why don't you go first?
Again, kind of like The Imitation Game. I admired this movie more than I loved it at the time. But, you know, there's some merit here. It's just, it's a movie that it's going to be really hard for me to recommend universally, because a lot of people are going to go see it and hate it. And even those who like it probably won't realize that they like it until a day or two after the movie, when it's had time to sink in. So, I really enjoyed, you know, this world, this depiction of this world, the way it felt, the way that the rules of the universe mm-hmm. in which it operated felt very real. And it's the kind of struggle that you could imagine an entrepreneur going through, especially in an environment where the rules aren't enforced. And that's, you know, a lot of this movie is about that. So taken at face value, it's more about that than anything else. But I'm struggling with a score for this, because a 7 doesn't reflect my admiration for the movie, but it probably reflects my entertainment, you know, quotient that I got from it. So 7 out of 10.
Yes, Steve.
So I think this movie simmers along ever so slowly until it finally reaches a great big boil. And I love how it's such a nice character study, and you never really know what to make of the main character until almost the end, when you find out, you know, what's, because there's, like you said, there's so many layers to it. So I just find it a very fascinating, very intelligent, very clever examination of, you know, of the ethics of doing business when you're a mobster, or when you're dealing with mobsters. And in many way, capitalism justifies being a mobster even today. And so I think I found the movie very, very relevant from that perspective. And like I said, this is not my favorite genre of movies. And at the end of the day, when the movie ended, it just was very, very satisfying for me. And I didn't expect that, you know, even to the first half hour of the movie. So I give it 8 out of 10. It's not for everyone, but I think if you love movies, you should see this. It will make my, top 10 list for the year.
Go for it, Rashmi.
So this is supposed to be about the most violent year in New York, but there was little violence overall and little action to keep me engaged. However, great acting by Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac make this film just about watchable. I like Yazdi's review of this movie more than I like the movie. I give Yazdi's review of this movie an 8 out of 10. I give this movie's acting a 9 out of 10, but I give this movie about a 4 out of 10. So really mixed up score, because it's a mixed up movie. I still, you know, have the frown. I'm still there's a movie, in my head, I think.
There's a movie that came out last year, Out of the Furnace.
Yes.
Which had that same vibe to
and
it.
And I hated that one too.
Really? But Out of the Furnace, towards the end, ends up with a huge dramatic climax.
And that I had a problem with that, yeah.
That this movie doesn't get to. It doesn't have that peak for me.
Really?
Because I loved Out of the Furnace. Yeah, I think that was, you know, possibly one of my, you know, favorite movies of the year before. But it has that same kind of what's going on here type vibe. You're always wondering, what's this story going to be about?
Yeah.
You know, when's this movie going to start? You know.
Yes.
I grant you, both movies are about a man trying to do right within circumstances which won't let him.
Yeah. But for me, the superior experience was Out of the Furnace.
I think it's going to get Oscar love. I think Oscar Isaac is going to get a nod, because I think it's a good portrayal.
Pick up some offbeat type awards. It'll make some, you know, some critics' top 10 lists and things, but I don't know that it's Academy fair.
Jessica Chastain, maybe.
I think Oscar Isaac. It's so different to Llewellyn Davis.
Winter's Bone did, you know.
Yeah,
again.
I think it's got that same.
But
I don't know. It's an interesting choice to call it a most violent year and to set it at that time. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, that you could set that story in today's time.
I think it's being. Yeah. I think it's being ironic, maybe, in calling it a most violent, because the movie's not very violent at all until the final act.
But if you're a legitimate businessman and you encounter a year like that, you would think of it and look back upon it as a most violent year.
Yeah, possibly.
If you're not a gangster.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let us know what you think of either of these movies, Imitation Game and A Most Violent Year. both are likely to be spoken about as we enter the award season. So twitter.com/movierollers, do tweet or post on our Facebook page. Let us know what you think. We'd love to get your comments and thoughts on any of the movies. Until our next episode, it's going to be too many movies, too little time. And goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.